welcome to a new edition of Powerful Insights. This is Kevin Donahue, Senior Director with Protiviti, and I'm pleased to be speaking today with Sean Seizengun and Lauren Lang. Sean is a Managing Director with Protiviti. Lauren is an Associate Director with Protiviti, both of whom are leaders within our business performance improvement practice. Sean, thanks for joining me today.
Happy to be here, Kevin.
And Lauren, great to speak with you as well.
Hi, Kevin. Good to be here.
You know, I'm excited to be talking to both of you about what truly is a hot topic in business in general today, which is kind of the use of more automation and robotic process automation to achieve greater efficiencies and even cost savings in organizations. And today I know we're going to be talking about that specifically within the finance function of organizations. So with that, Sean, let me ask you the first question. In your role as a leader within financial performance improvement and some of the work we do for our clients, what are CFO and senior finance folks looking to achieve in terms of automation and optimization today?
Yep, Kevin, it's been quite a journey over the last couple of years. You know, the office of the CFO is very focused on creating value and value creation. Also looking at other things such as the voice of the customer, but we've really seen a journey over the last couple of years. I think, you know, if you go back about 5 years, there was a lot of focus on stabilization of the finance function, making sure that, you know, we're producing reports that are accurate, developing management reports that companies can make business decisions off of, looking at things around stabilization of the financial close and the FP&A function. And then, you know, about 4 years ago, they really focused on the re-engineering and, you know, how are companies re-engineering their processes, how are they eliminating waste, you know, getting rid of bottlenecks. And, you know, with the whole BPO path, there was a lot of focus then from the re-engineering to the stabilization, making things more repeatable, sustainable. And what we're seeing now is now with all those activities that I talked about in the past, the stabilization, the re-engineering, and the standardization, there really is a true opportunity to really focus on automation. And I've really seen the whole RPA space take off over the last 2 years. Companies are asking about it. They're asking about how they can develop RPA solutions. They know their process have now become stabilized and more repeatable. They know that they're more ripe for automation. So this has become an explosive topic within finance. And, you know, whether you're the CFO, treasurer, or controller, a lot of interest around the whole RPA space, and we've been fielding lots of questions around that, and now really working with most of our key clients and developing some great solutions around the RPA space.
So, Sean, on that note regarding RPA, as I've seen, and I know you have too, it's such a hot topic right now. What are the current trends in the marketplace, kind of in connection with how finance leaders are leveraging RPA or are looking to leverage RPA? What are you hearing and seeing out there right now?
Yeah, it's interesting to look at it. If you look at the traditional focus areas of finance, you know, order to cash on the revenue side, there's a lot to look at and review of, you know, how we can use RPA on that, you know, whether that's looking at different pricing checklists, looking at the application of cash, just looking at different solutions that have all or areas that have been problematic and very manual in nature, and looking at how we can develop and use RPA solutions to kind of fix some of that. You know, going down the list of procure to pay on the AP side, that seems where we've gotten a lot of different questions around. You know, when you talk about best practices and procure to pay, you look at certain things like three-way matching. How can that be enabled through RPA? You know, when the customer submits a bill and is there a way to use RPA to send out automatic email notifications back to the different vendors to say, we've gotten your bill and we're processing it now, or if there's missing information they need for that processing, RPA is being deployed to kind of help with that. Also looking at sort of, you know, supplier onboarding, looking at making sure that suppliers are submitting invoices that are, you know, consistent with contract tools. And then just the overall invoice submission. I mean, seen a lot of different companies explore OCR tools using RPA because a lot of the new RPA, more sophisticated tools do have that OCR capability. So it's an interesting area to look at. And then, you know, back to the bread and butter of where, you know, finance functions really live and exist. I mean, record to report, a lot of focus on, you know, automating journal entries, you know, closing out subledgers, automatic posting of different subledgers, whether it's an Excel into sort of a general ledger environment, all areas of focus we're seeing right now, and areas where we think RPA can really enhance those areas. We see similar areas within FP&A and treasury. And it is interesting, as from a hot topic perspective, RPA has really had a lot more, focus on some non-FSI areas, but now we're seeing FSI really look at this area as well. You look at FSI like an area like mortgage origination. That's a lot about paper pushing and getting different forms filled out and completed, and workflow management. That's another area where we see a lot of RPA solutions being developed. On the insurance side, RPA has been tremendously successful in processing certain things within the insurance space. You have a lot of, general applications that are interfacing with insurance-specific applications, maybe on the underwriting claim reinsurance side, and RPA has now been able to bridge some of those applications together, so you have much more straight-through processing. So it's been a really interesting time. We're seeing a lot of great client examples out there. We're helping with a lot of those solutions, and it really has transformed the way the industry and how finance is being managed going forward.
That's a great rundown. Thanks, Sean. Lauren, let's bring you into the conversation here. From your perspective and in your work in the market, where do you see finance organizations implementing RPA today?
Yeah. So right now, what we're seeing, so financial services are further along than many other industries on their RPA journey, and there are really three different kind of steps in maturity for adopting RPA. And the initiation phase, we're usually seeing organizations that are focusing on many of the areas that Sean just covered, so procure to pay, order to cash, record to report, are looking to leverage RPA in invoicing intake, in any sort of process where there's third-party data that's coming in, and for whatever reason, they haven't developed robust traditional IT integration with those third-party data sources. That's where a lot of the opportunities to do the proof of concepts and sort of dip their toes into RPA development and building out these automated processes are currently with the organizations that are just initiating. Now, financial services is further along than many other industries, and a lot of them are moving towards industrializing their RPA programs. So what does that mean? It means getting greater integration with other smart machine technologies. So we're looking at integration with virtual assistants to enhance capabilities within their call centers. So there's more straight-through processing with a verbal interaction with customers and doing a handoff to an RPA product. So that's kind of the next level of maturity and use case that we're seeing. So initially, the focus is really on increasing the percentage of automation of those repeatable processes with structured data in more of the, the traditional operational side of the finance organization, things that aren't customer facing, where there's lower risk in the early implementations and trial phase, and then moving into integrating more with the customer facing capabilities and taking it to the next level. Now, many organizations in FS are really just starting to dip their toes into that space, and where it's really moving towards, and in the industry, there are a lot of conversations about moving from traditional to immersive to intelligent banking capabilities, and organizations are now looking at how do they extend their RPA footprint to interact with more of these next generation artificial intelligence capabilities to have more sophisticated use cases.
Great rundown. Thanks, Lauren. Following up on those points, what are some of the early challenges you're seeing companies face in their RPA implementations?
Yeah, so it's an interesting question, and less of it has to do with the actual technology as it has to do with upskilling the business resources to be able to model and develop the automated process solutions with limited support from IT. So really having that light IT model where IT is performing the activities around supporting the infrastructure and providing consultation and guidance around security. The businesses has a large learning curve in knowing how to implement agilely as well as learning the different rundown and capability and the softer IT sort of a skill set in agile implementations, understanding functional decomposition of processes to be able to design robust automation tools. There are challenges also with figuring out business model and how to redirect or reallocate work that has been transferred to the digital workforce, and how the existing business users manage and oversee that activity. So there are challenges and concerns with auditing the bots and monitoring them for quality assurance. And usually that's where we're seeing the challenges that organizations are facing with doing these implementations. They're looking to rely less. They're looking for consulting partners to provide support and help accelerate these processes or the actual RPA journey. And really hoping and striving to build plans that teach their internal teams how to do this on their own and really stand on their own 2 feet. And I think that's the greatest challenge that they're facing right now.
And Lauren, I have one final question for you. And Sean, you're welcome to weigh in on this one as well. What do you see as some of the immediate benefits being realized with the use of RPA? And what's also the long-term potential of RPA in finance?
So the immediate benefits that are being realized are the speed of processing with the automated bots is liberating time to work on other things, particularly having to do with end of month activities as well as year-end close. We talked about a bit earlier some of the areas where we were seeing finance implementing automated solutions, and they're really, a lot of them are starting with processes associated with month end and year close. And so they're seeing significant improvements in those activities immediately, as well as most organizations are realizing a return on their investment 100% or more within a year. Now, the longer term potential of RPA, I sort of spoke to a bit earlier, is how do you connect RPA to more leading edge artificial intelligence capabilities, such as natural language processing, natural language understanding, neural networks, to achieve greater opportunities for customer experience and the possibilities of rethinking the capabilities of the entire financial service organization and the products that they provide.
Yeah, I 100% agree with my colleague. I think she said it best. But I think, to quote some other people that talk about RPA and what its potential is, I mean, it is not something that seems to be here that's going to be, gone in 4 or 5 years. This is going to be fundamental to the way that finance is managed going forward. I mean, it's going to be probably just as prevalent as Excel is right now within finance functions and finance processes. So it's something that we definitely would encourage embracing early on because it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable now. But, 6, 7 years down the road, it could be incredibly uncomfortable because, things are changing very quickly and early adopters are obviously going to reap the benefits of being an early adopter. So we see it as transformational to the way finance will be managed in the future and think, we're excited about it because it's going to, as Lauren started, it's going to, there's now going to be more time to be allocated to doing analytics and analyzing the business versus actually just reporting results. So it's an exciting time for us, and we're excited to see what the future is.
You know, that's a great analogy, Sean, that this is very likely to grow in use similar to how Excel is being used today. And when you think about the prevalence of that software, it's almost mind-boggling to think how large this is going to become. I want to thank Sean, you and Lauren for joining me today to discuss the use of robotic process automation in finance groups today. I want to invite our audience to visit Protiviti.com, where we have a wealth of information on robotic process automation under our Civic Solutions offering.